Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3 as we continue our journey through this amazing book. And as we've already seen, it is going to be a mixture of prophecy about things God's going to do for and with Israel, both in the tribulation and the kingdom, but also these warnings and rebukes about their behavior. And tonight is another example of that here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." So I've entitled the message, "They have rewarded evil unto themselves." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us, to grow us, to refine us, maybe rebuke us, Lord, but we want to hear from you tonight, and we ask that Jesus would meet with us and that we would leave and say, "It was good to be in the house of the Lord." So we love you and give you this service and pray it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see here that they were going to be eating the fruit of their own doings. We saw last week, he said, their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. I believe that was up in verse 8. And now he's explaining to them that, as we're told in Proverbs, a backslider shall eat the fruit of his own ways, which we'll be seeing that verse in a little while. But we see here in verse 9, he says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them." They had gotten to the point where they really didn't care what God thought anymore. And their countenance was a reflection of that. Pride had come out, and now they had these hard countenances against God. And that, of course, is one of the end results of sin, is we get to the point where we really aren't afraid of God. We don't really care what God thinks. And it shows in our countenance, that's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. There's some scriptures about this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and look at them about this countenance against God. And by countenance, God is talking about what word should I use? I like the word countenance. It's hard to go further than that. But our outward demeanor, there's another word. How we act, and what people see in our faces. And Israel had gotten to the point where their countenance was against the ways of God. Notice Psalms chapter 10. Then we'll go to Proverbs. Go to Psalms 10, if you would, and verse 4. Psalm 10, but keep your finger in Proverbs and keep your other finger in Isaiah 3. But notice Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." So again, we're talking about their countenance was against, witnessing against them. And he says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance." Now go to Proverbs chapter 21, if you would, and we'll see what happens when man stops caring about what God thinks. He's prideful, and notice he's stubborn. Anybody here tonight have any stubbornness at all? I'm sure it's not very many. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Remember, God made us. He knows what we're like. And the Bible says, "hardeneth his neck." That's God's way of saying, "No, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do." Hardeneth his neck. Having that countenance of pride against God's ways. Look at the next chapter over, Proverbs 30 and verse 13. In describing a generation like this, he says, 30:13, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." That could have been written about today. The world has this attitude about God that they don't really care what God thinks. They don't really care what the Bible says anymore. And their countenance is a witness against them. And so go back to our passage in Isaiah 3:9. Isaiah chapter 3, where it says, "And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." You see, what happens is, when people get this far from God, they actually get to the point where they're actually not only not afraid of the things of God, but they're actually, if you will, proud of their sin. And the world is getting to that point now, aren't they? You know, it used to be that certain sins were kept in the closet and kept a secret from society. Well, then they came out of the closet and now they parade it around in front of everybody. And they're proud of it. And that's what's going on with Israel here when Isaiah is rebuking them. He says, they declare their sin, they hide it not. They're not trying to keep it a secret anymore. They're proud of the fact that they're wicked. That's the end result. And, of course, the end result will be they will eat the fruit of their doings. As he says here in this verse, they have rewarded evil unto themselves. There's going to come a reckoning, in other words. While you're in Isaiah, look at chapter 48, if you would, in verse 22, where God explains about this rewarding evil unto themselves. God says here, Isaiah 48, 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." So they might parade their sin. They might have this hardened neck. They might declare their sin and not be ashamed of it, but they definitely don't have peace. Because peace only comes from the God of peace. And it's only available to those who allow His peace to control their lives. It's unavailable to the lost, of course. But what a shame that Israel had fallen this far, that God had to send Isaiah to say to them, "Look where you are. Your own countenance is a witness against you. You are declaring your own sin. You're not even trying to hide it anymore. And you're rewarding evil unto yourselves. You're asking me to judge you," in other words. And I'm sure that if you've been saved a while, you've known Christians that have done the same thing. They essentially are saying to God, "I want you to prove that you're there. So I'm going to keep living like the devil and just test to see if you'll do something about it." And that's where Israel was. And God did something about it. He always does. Right? Galatians 6, 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It's just the timing thing. We expect it to be tomorrow. But where God knows our lives, God knows what's best for us, He's going to take care of it. It's just He'll do it when He believes it's best. But He will do something. And they will eat the fruit of their doings. If you would go down to Jeremiah now, just to a book to the right, chapter 2, where again, God is rebuking Israel, which we'll see plenty of. But He's also teaching us something about backsliders, which they were backsliders. Notice Jeremiah 2:19. The Bible says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." What corrects? Thine own wickedness. What reproves? Thine own backslidings. We essentially are asking God to do something. Now, doesn't the Bible say about Christians that we will all have some chastisement in our lives in Hebrews chapter 12. As a matter of fact, he says, if you're not a partaker, you're not a believer. So God will deal with it when we allow pride to creep in, when we stop caring about what God wants and we harden our neck and we say, "I want to do what I want to do." God's going to deal with it. It's just a matter of the when. In Hosea 13:9, God said, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself." You know, we often think of them going into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar and the other captivity. Think, look what God allowed to happen. God says, "You've destroyed yourself." And he would say the same thing to Christians who say, I don't want to live for God. I want to do my own thing. God would say, you've destroyed yourself because you've asked me as a righteous, holy, loving father to deal with your sin. It's just true. God will always do the best thing. God will always do what's right. So we're asking him in those states, God, I want you to deal with me. I want you to do something in my life. I'm asking you to chastise me. And so he reminds him, Isaiah 3:10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Now this is a principle that's been in the Bible from the beginning of time, that God rewards righteousness and God chastises evil. That's just the way it works. It's really simple, isn't it? That when we do right and when we serve God and when we obey His Word, we get more blessings in our lives. And when we choose to rebel and disobey God, we are asking for God to bring chastisement into our lives. And so he's reminding Israel about this very simple principle. Unfortunately, they didn't listen and learn. But let's look at a couple scriptures reminding us of this truth. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12, talking about God blessing or rewarding righteousness. And didn't we do the same thing with our own children? Or aren't we doing the same thing with our own children? When they're obedient, when they're doing the right thing, when they do what we ask them to do, don't we bless them more? And when they're disobedient and when they're rebellious, we don't. That's just the way it works. We pass out other things instead of rewards. Notice the Ecclesiastes 8:12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. You know, David said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, in Psalm 128:1. God blesses righteousness. God blesses obedience. Go to 1 John chapter 3. I'll show you another verse about this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. This is talking primarily about our prayer life. And isn't it interesting that our prayer life is connected to our obedience? We often forget that. We wonder, why is my prayer life not what it used to be? Well, is your Christian life what it should be? Notice 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Would it be great if we could stop right there? Let's just stop right there and start our own cult. Which is how cults get started, by the way. You take a little piece of a verse out of context and you run with it. But there's a because in the verse. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you can't claim the first part unless you're doing the second part. You can't say God's going to give me whatsoever I ask if you're not keeping his commandments and doing things that are pleasing in his sight. That's how it's always worked. God blesses obedience and God chastises disobedience. And that's what he told them in our passage in verse 11. He told them in verse 10, I will bless obedience and righteousness. It says in verse 11, you'll receive the reward of your wickedness if that is your choice. Notice for Isaiah 3:11 where he says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1, please, verse 31. Again, this has been a principle of Scripture all the way through. But Proverbs especially gives these principles about good and evil and the results of both. But notice Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. The fruit of their own ways. And then you look at Proverbs 14:14 while you're in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So there it is again. his own ways. God said to Israel, they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Israel will say later on, look what God has done to us. Look what God has allowed to happen in our lives. Look at all these terrible things. Jerusalem's torn down. We're captives in other lands. And God will say, you did this to yourself. And how many times do Christians get mad at God and say, look what God's done to me. And God will say, no, you did this to yourself. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you keep sowing disobedience, you're going to reap chastisement. It's just a fact. So they made the choice. They had warning after warning after warning, prophet after prophet sent to them, warning them, this is what's going to happen. A lot of times, this is when it's going to happen if you don't change your ways. And they still didn't listen. And then it would happen. And then God would send another prophet. And it just, this vicious cycle. Well, he doesn't send prophets to us anymore, but we do have this. Amen? And we're supposed to be in it and reading it and studying it and memorizing it and meditating in it and going to church and hearing it preached and taught so that God can keep warning us to stay on the path. Because we have a tendency to step off the path, don't we? It's just in our nature. So let's not do it. God blesses righteousness. God chastises wickedness. And as he said to the Israelites, they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Their own wickedness is a witness against them. Let's not let that be true in our own lives. Let's pray.